In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Bobby's getting a lot of sartorial help on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Slowick needs to wear a Tom Landry hat. Maybe that'll
help. Oh, that'd be good. What if he came out and... Who was the suit? Jack Del Rio wore a suit for a throwback deal like once. Yeah. The other guy, too... Remember, I'm blanking.
Remember when Amy Adams Strunk made Mike Vrabel dress up like Bum Phillips cosplay style? Remember that?
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah. That's why she was so happy this year. She was like, "I won it," and it was because we didn't do cosplay.
Yeah, we'll get to that in the Pettycast at 8 o'clock. We've got crumbs left over in the Pettycast at 8 o'clock today.
I think it was Mike Nolan, if I remember correctly. Mike Nolan wore a suit once too. So former does Bobby Niners. Sloak show up wearing a suit?
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I remember that with Nolan. You're right about that. I think it was Nolan who wore a suit one time.
And it turns out there's the thing against it was just basically because the coaches, even as sloppy and disheveled as Bill Belichick was, I think it was still NFL gear. Like, they want to get the branding and the logos out there.
Yeah.
You got to be wearing some kind of NFL gear these days. All of those of you want to bring back dignity to the sport.
That's right.
Good luck with that.
That's right. So Jalen Petrie left the game on Sunday with what was called at the time a shoulder injury. Turns out it is a tear of the pectoral muscle, according to Aaron Wilson, not a full tear of the pectoral muscle. According to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, Jalen Petrie could be back this season. There's a determination being made right now on whether or not to perform surgery on the tear. So we don't have nothing definitive yet on Jalen Petrie, other than he's going to miss some time at a minimum. So when I hear that, Seth, I'm just a regular dude who's never torn his pectoral muscle. I think probably the most noteworthy pectoral muscle tear in recent Houston Texans history was when J.J. Watt, in Week 8 against the Raiders back in 2019, tore his pectoral muscle. Kind of just during a play, came off to the sideline. You can see him just sort of holding his, rubbing his chest. And next thing you knew, boom, he's out for the year, or so we thought. He got surgery on it. He was able to make it back for the playoffs that year. Had a big play in that in that win over Buffalo. So that's a case of somebody who had surgery on the muscle and was able to got the injury in Week 8, and then 2 months later was able to make it back. Now the Texans are down to 5 games left in the regular season, and it would be a miracle right now if they're playing in 2 months.
Right,
honestly,
right.
The way they're playing right now. But if Jalen Petrie doesn't need surgery on this, then You're the former athlete. You tell me, like, can he get back on the field with this thing?
He could totally get back on the field. Everything's individual. It's not like, well, if he's tough, he'll get back on the field. They got to figure out how much strength he has, how much he can play through. The player himself has to make a decision about, all right, do I take the chance on going out there, hurting it further, and then delaying surgery, or should I get the surgery now so I know for sure I'm ready? So there's a little bit of, you know, risk management and risk appetite in there. I would, just me guessing and speculating.
Yeah.
Is that I think Petrie strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, okay, what do we have to do? Like, what's the timeline if I'm going to play with this?
Yes.
Frank Ragnow, the center for the Lions right now, he's currently playing with a partially torn pec.
Wow, okay. And that's a position where you're fighting your hand. You need the pec, yes.
The bench press matters a lot more at center than it does at star or slot corner or whatever you want to call it. Let's just call it defensive back.
Sure.
So, but again, everybody's different. You know, Ragnow might just have a little minor tear or something. So you can work your way through it. You can play through it potentially. So I'm not giving up on Jalen Petrie. You know, we might have to worry about, okay, Jalen Petrie has made progress with his tackling technique. Mm-hmm. That might fall by the wayside a little bit, and he might become more of the human missile again. But so be it. I would still rather have him out there than
Eric Murray. Say it. Yes. Eric Murray. Yes. Eric Murray was awful on Sunday. He was terrible.
Well, when Jimmy Ward has to go play Jalen Petrie's position, then you're going to get more Eric Murray at safety.
Yeah.
And that's where you, as much as I know people get frustrated with Jimmy Ward at times, he brings a lot to the table.
I feel terrible for Petrie if it turns out that it's at a minimum, it's going to be something that knocks him out for the near future here. I feel terrible. So I already feel terrible for him because he's really, really come into his own in this role that he's in. Like, he is making at least one big play, it feels like, in all of these games. You know, the Indianapolis game, he had the big interception right before the half against Anthony Richardson. The Lions game, early in that game, he's got the tipped ball that Jimmy Ward intercepts on the very first drive of the game. In the Cowboys game, he had the second forced fumble on the same play that Derek Barnett scooped and scored. And he brings an energy too, man. This is Nick Caserio right here. Nick was on with me and Seth last Thursday, and you can tell from just Nick talking about Petrie here just how much he brings not only to the field but to the building.
JP's been awesome. I mean, you ask anybody in the building like what he means to our team, and you're going to get nothing but glowing remarks and positives. He plays the right way. He's got the right mindset. He's impactful with the plays. You know, I think every player, like, you're going to have plays, you know, either give up some plays, you want some plays back, but just his energy, his mindset, his physicality, his effort, his playmaking ability. I want to say he's our leading tackler. He's close. I think him and Henry are close, but he impacts the game in a positive way when he's on the field, and his attitude is infectious. I mean, we talked last year was 1,000. Like, we'll take 2,000 Jalen Petries on this football team. So he's embraced the role. It's different than the role last year, but we figured out that this is the best thing for him and for the football team. And he's gone out there and made play after play after play in each game. So, you know, we're fortunate. We feel like we have a number of good football players on this football team. You know, JP certainly high on the list.
So that one thing that Caserio said in there that's interesting, given the role change, it's a good thing this year that Jalen Petrie has as many tackles as he does. His rookie year, he had a boatload of tackles, but they were of the variety that, as Jimmy Ward told Jalen Petrie when Jimmy Ward got here, hey, man, it's not necessarily all that good for a safety to have that many tackles.
Right.
It's because the front seven was so bad that he did end up with a lot of tackles. He also ended up with a lot of missed tackles.
Yep.
This is different this year. You know, he plays a hybrid linebacker / defensive back position. And as a linebacker, in a lot of respects, yeah, it's good that he's hoovering up all these tackles.
Yeah.
So this has been just awesome to watch. It's been really cool to see Jalen Petrie being used exactly how he should be used.
Yeah.
Credit to D'Amico Ryans for figuring it out and Matt Burke. But it also speaks to, all right, the one good thing we've got going here is the defense. And even with some glitches and things they need to clean up, man, Jalen Petrie's a huge part of that.
He is.
You want to play complimentary football, We need to hopefully have Jalen Petrie and then find a counterpart on the offensive side of the ball who contributes the way that Jalen Petrie
does. That would be beautiful. That would be a beautiful thing. So we'll keep an eye on that this week, obviously. Texans off today. They're back at it tomorrow practicing for Jacksonville on Sunday. A game you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610, noon on Sunday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, how much danger are the Texans in right now of blowing their lead in the AFC South?
Oh, no.
When they beat the Colts in Week 8 to go to 6-2 on the season, the thought was, they're two games up and they've got the tiebreaker right now. This feels really good. And then since that Colts game in Week 8, they've gone 1-3. They're 7-5. The good news is the Colts have also gone 1-3 in that time. The Colts have done a really nice job of not taking advantage of this stretch that the Texans have. We thank the Colts for that. The magic number right now, Seth, there's five games to go for both the Texans and the Colts. They have the same bye week, so the math on these two is going to be very clean. They have the same week off, so they've played the same number of games. The magic number right now is 3, which means that's the combined number of Texans. This is more of a baseball thing, but it applies here. That's the combined number of Texans wins and Colts losses that you need to win the division. So, yeah. You get any combination? Is that, why is that funny? Why are you laughing?
Because I hadn't looked at Anthony Richardson's stats yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm so happy that he was 9-for-19 last week.
Oh, he's back to the old AR5.
He's back down below 50%.
Okay. I was like, did I say something?
Oh wait, no. I'm sorry. He was 11-for-28.
Oh, even better.
He was even worse. He was 11-for-28.
Yeah, by better I mean worse.
In which they scored 6 points. Look, it's versus the Lions.
Yeah.
So he was 39% completion percentage for 172 yards. Anthony Richardson remains, as I've always looked at him, I am terrified to face him on any given Sunday, and yet, in accumulating wins over the course of a season,
yep,
he's not even close to being the guy that gets it done for you.
Right, right.
So, yeah, hey, they had an extra couple weeks to game plan for what he might do when he comes back. They shot their wad, and then here you go. You're back down to sub 50%.
So I'm going to connect the dots here. What I'm hearing you say is you don't sound all that concerned about the Indianapolis Colts.
No, I don't think so. I think Anthony Richardson will have a couple more really impressive performances and then a bunch of stinkers as they play out the string.
According to the website I go to for look-ahead lines on games, they've got the spread on every game for the rest of the year. If you look hard enough on the internet. So there's a website I go to. Now, I think one of these lines might be a typo because there's no way the Colts should be favored in Denver against the Broncos by 2.5. I refuse to believe that. But here's where I'm going with this. Let's assume that's true for a second.
Okay.
The Colts, if that's true, are favored in all of their games the rest of the year. They don't have a very difficult schedule. They have the Patriots this weekend in New England. Now, they're only favored by 2.5, so that's really a coin flip game. Then, like the Texans, they have a bye. They're at the Broncos in Week 15. Broncos have been a nice surprise this year, and they've got a really – that is a defense that could force Anthony Richardson into a a Seth Payne box score porn kind of game with Anthony Richardson. They're home for the Titans, favored by 4. They're at the Giants. The Giants stink. They're favored there. And then they host the Jags in Week 18. They're favored by a couple points against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think that Bronco game's got to be a typo. There's no way they're favored on the road against the team that's in the playoffs right now. Just no chance.
And well, then especially with their defensive way they're playing
right
versus Anthony Richardson.
And Bo Nix has been better now. And so, but point being, even if they're underdogs in that Broncos game, that is a very manageable schedule for a mediocre to average NFL team. Like the Texans, the Texans need to take care of their business. You know what I mean? Like if the Colts win this Sunday in New England, which is a distinct possibility, and the Texans lay an egg in Jacksonville, also a distinct possibility. Now you're talking about going into the bye, having lost 5 of 7, and with the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens in an 11-day period coming out of the bye. Like, the one thing the Colts have over the Texans is they have an easier schedule, and they have a way more normal schedule coming out of it. You know, they're Sunday, 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 Sunday.
If you're looking at these lines for the Texans coming up, which ones are you most skeptical of? Because they're -5 at Jacksonville.
Okay.
I feel like that's been, if it hadn't been for last week's performance, that would have been a much healthier line than it is right now.
I wonder what's baked into that line as far as Trevor Lawrence's availability. He did practice yesterday. Yeah, keep going. So
the Texans are favored. They're -2.5 versus Miami at home.
That sounds about right to me, right? Like
sounds about right, but I'm looking side-eyed at everything right now.
No, I would take the Dolphins. If it were this week, I would take the Dolphins in that game.
I mean, +4 at Kansas City. Who are you betting on in that
situation? The only
thing
I would say about that is Kansas City plays everybody close.
Yep. Yeah, no matter how you feel about your individual team right now, they've played everybody close.
Everybody close, so I wouldn't touch that one. What about the Ravens game on Christmas?
Okay, they are 1.5-point underdogs versus the Ravens at home.
Yeah, you watched the Ravens last night. I think could get ugly, that Ravens game.
Yeah.
That could get – because the Texans, the one Achilles heel with the Ravens right now is their defense, and I don't think the Texans pose a threat to anybody right now offensively the way they're playing.
No, you're exactly right. It's kind of – well, you look at the Titans, and the scariest thing about the Titans going into it, that game was, okay, the Texans' biggest weakness is their interior offensive line. The Titans' greatest strength is their interior defensive line.
Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster, man, especially when you try to run it up the middle on 3rd and 1. When you've got an offensive coordinator whose answer for situational football is to run your extreme weakness into their extreme strength.
Yeah.
And I posted that yesterday, and people said, well, it's not like they were running well outside. Right. Okay. But this is the worst version. There are a lot of things bad in that game.
Yeah.
This is the worst version of everything that's bad in the game.
Right.
Including the fact that passing is an option. If you had developed any kind of a quick game, if you had any kind of hot routes or answers to the blitz or anything, if you had a well-designed and orchestrated offense, you've got many more answers than just trying to manhandle a 388-pound human being with offensive linemen who can't do it.
It never ceases to amaze me that people don't realize that when there are a slew of bad options, there's still one that is the best of those bad options. Like just because they're all bad doesn't mean they're all equal. You know?
Hey, I've got some financial difficulties. Should we cut back and stop going out to eat dinner or just commit suicide? What? I don't know. What's the better option there? You know, just cut back a little bit. Bobby Slowe committed suicide on that play.
He did.
He said it's 3rd and short. Let's run it into the guys who have been destroying our interior offensive linemen all game long.
Did you see Shaq on that play? Like Shaq and Titus right now, man. Oh god.
The sack. Well, the time Tavondre Sweat just swatted Shaq
like a gnat
out of the way,
and he just looks like him. Like sitting on the ground just looks so sad. It just looks so sad.
Man,
I'm not trying to be mean.
Tavondre Sweat, I love guys our age probably love, well, not when they're playing the Texans, but you watch Tavondre Sweat and it just brings back all these memories of the golden era of fat nose tackles. Ted Washington.
It's a good pick by the
Titans. Keith Traylor could play 3 technique also. But the biggest thing about Ted Washington, and that's what it reminds me of, is Ted Washington would make plays on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, Yeah, like he couldn't. And that's where the Texans, I think their plan, as it should have been, was all right, we get the outside zone working.
Yep.
You get these big defensive tackles running sideline to sideline, chasing down boots and everything. And then it should kick in the second half, get those guys tired. Problem was, the Texans couldn't run outside zone.
No.
To the point where the linebackers weren't even worried about it. Like,
yeah.
The linebackers were sitting back, Sean, and it was almost like they were just waiting for the prey to come back to them. The gazelles were running away from them, but they knew that the gazelles were going to come
back
upon a forest fire,
yep.
And we're going to run back. So the linebackers are just sitting at home, waiting for the cutback, jumping backside,
yeah.
Doing this stuff. The Texans offense has got to a point where defenses can sit in a meeting room and say, hey, listen, we will be fundamentally unsound because we can get away with it versus this team.
That's what they did. That's what
we
they
can
did.
Just yeah. Listen. Don't worry about whatever your normal reads are.
Yeah.
You don't even have to play that
not
way with these guys because
yeah.
They're so bad.
Oh
yeah.
My God, that's depressing. Of all.
So
the
they
things.
Were unsuccessful in tiring out Tavondre Sweat.
They were indeed, no doubt. All right, let's get to headlines coming up next. D'Amico Ryan speaks to the media. We've got the Harbaugh Bowl last night. We've got a signing in baseball. How Astro fans feeling about this signing in the world of Major League Baseball. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.